Good afternoon. You're listening to KFSK News for Monday, November 17th. I'm Taylor Heckert. Alaska's U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan is scheduled to deliver a presentation about the One Big Beautiful Bill Act at tonight's Petersburg Borough Assembly meeting. The borough sent his office a list of questions from assembly members in advance. Assembly members can also ask him their questions directly tonight, according to an update from the borough clerk this morning. Senator Sullivan will present over Zoom early in the meeting. There are two other agenda updates expected for tonight's meeting as well. Petersburg resident Tristan Enriquez will swear in as the police department's newest officer. He started working at the department last year as a local dispatcher and recently graduated from the police academy. The borough clerk says he'll be sworn in at the assembly meeting tonight. Another anticipated change to tonight's agenda removes the school board vacancy appointment. This morning, we reported that the assembly was expecting to consider appointing John Haverleck to the open seat on Petersburg School Board. But under state law, that appointment is actually decided by the school board, not the assembly. So that item will be struck from the assembly's to-do list tonight. Haverleck serves on the Public Safety Advisory Board, but indicated he'd resign in order to pursue the school board's seat, according to the borough clerk. The terms are temporary, lasting a year until the next local election. The school board has an interview process before making the appointment. Also, at the borough assembly meeting tonight, there'll be an opportunity for public testimony about two ordinances. One of them makes a handful of changes to the borough's current budget. The changes deal with capital projects and wastewater system repairs. The other aims to rezone land between Skylark Way and Severson Subdivision. It's the property that local developer Skylark Park LLC is buying from the borough. Both the rezoning and the final sale contract are contingent on each other to be finalized. The assembly approved the sale of the property to Skylark for a public benefit purpose last month. The company plans to develop the property with utilities in order to build housing that is more affordable in Petersburg. The rezoning ordinance passed the assembly unanimously in its first reading earlier this month. There's a new ordinance on the agenda tonight as well. It would change the borough's code to update the process for submitting bids. When there's a project in the borough, contractors submit a bid that says how much their services would cost for doing it. But the borough code currently requires that proposal to be submitted with a physical paper copy, either delivering it to the borough in person, by mail, or faxing it over. Approving this change would allow the borough to accept bid proposals electronically. The Petersburg Borough Assembly meets tonight at 6 o'clock in the Assembly Chambers. KFSK will broadcast that meeting live. A group of Soldotna Elementary School 6th graders participated in a mock Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly meeting last Wednesday. The students learned how their local government works during the field trip when they debated a fake ordinance that proposed extending Thanksgiving break. KDLL's Ashlyn O'Hara reports.
Sitting in the Borough Assembly Chambers, Elizabeth Terry's 6th grade students listen attentively to their classmate Jimmy Mayfield explain why he supports Ordinance 2021-01.
Sometimes when people get hot lunches at school, it costs some money to get the hot lunches. So when we get a 5-day week off, that can save a lot of money for getting hot lunches. And also, since we have 5 days, that's a lot more time to travel and hang out with people and families.
Jimmy has taken on the role of a borough assembly member. He's arguing in favor of a proposal to make Thanksgiving break longer for Kenai Peninsula Borough School District schools. The Soldotna Elementary School 6th grader is at a mock borough assembly meeting as part of a field trip. It's a chance for students to learn about local government and practice persuasive speech. The borough's actual mayor, Peter Machicki, plays assembly president during the meeting. Guiding students through the procedures, he explains the purpose of each step.
We need to go to public testimony because the most important part of our meetings is hearing from the public. Those are the people you all serve that you've been elected to represent.
Like during a real meeting, the 6th grade assembly takes public comment on the issue from their classmates. Cora Thomas says a longer break would make it easier for students to travel out of state.
It takes about 6.5 hours just to reach Seattle. This plus many more hours of traveling can lead to many, many hours or days of missed school. Giving families this extra week will give them the time they need to travel without missing too much school.
And Simeon Paxman says he'd be productive with the extra time off.
I snare rabbits, and if Thanksgiving break was extended to a week, that would give me more time to check my snares and tan my hides.
But some of their classmates disagreed. James Pierce says a long break would make it harder for students to return to school and financially burden families.
Some daycares might be closed, so it could be hard finding one that's open during Thanksgiving week. Leaving parents in only one option is to not go to work, and that could result in problems with parents' jobs.
And Ellie Ritter says it doesn't make sense for students to get a longer Thanksgiving break so close to winter break.
Without our 32 hours and 25 minutes of learning, it can cause us to lose focus and make it difficult. Though breaks can be nice, it is not helping our learning unless we are doing schoolwork over break, which most students will not do.
The student assembly members were equally split, narrowly voting in favor of an extended break. Borough Clerk Michelle Turner tallies the results.
I have 5 yes, 4 no. The no votes were cast by Ms. Aberkane, Mr. Moody, Ms. Magna, and Ms. Weinkoop. The motion passes.
Elizabeth Terry is the class's teacher. She says her students were nervous about the field trip.
They had 3 topics that they wanted to discuss with you today and decided by vote on the one that they did bring to the floor, and then researched on their own. They asked me very few questions.
Michicki, the borough mayor, applauded the students for their preparation. He said he tried to pass a bill expanding civics education for Alaska students when he was still serving in the Alaska legislature.
I think it's incredibly important, and you all have impressed me today.
Multiple students agreed the meeting went well. Here's Ellie, one of the opponents of the ordinance.
Everybody made amazing points, and I think either way, if we win or lost, it was still a great experience.
Before adjourning the meeting, students, like members of the public, had one more opportunity to address Michicki and the student assembly. Cora, who previously spoke in favor of the longer break, used the opportunity to plug one of her other priorities, student lockers at Soldana Elementary. Michicki says that topic will have to be held for a future meeting. Reporting from the Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly Chambers, I'm Ashlyn O'Hara.
Cost of living is expensive on Prince of Wales Island in southeast Alaska. For some residents, groceries can be hard to find and out of reach, especially when federal SNAP benefits are delayed or natural disaster hits. KRBD's Sydney Dauphiné reports on how the Power Thrift Store in downtown Craig has helped those in need for more than 30 years.
4 days a week, people come to Power and squeeze their way through racks of clothes or browse the floor-to-ceiling bookshelves. There are blankets, curtains, and an entire room dedicated to kitchen gadgets and dishware. The staircase, lined with coffee pots and home goods, leads to a jam-packed room of holiday decorations and kids' toys.
I can give you a little extra that a lot of places don't do. Look at all the stuff in here.
In a back room, Victoria Merritt puts boxes of Cheerios and canned potatoes on shelves.
Lift and carry all this stuff. This is my morning workout. So I buy the food, then I put it away, and then I know where it is.
She gets all the food from the local grocery store using money from donations. All this food goes to the community by way of emergency food boxes. Merritt says they give away around 1,000 boxes a year, all tailored to family size and preferences. It's mostly non-perishables, but there are some eggs, meats, and cheese, too.
And some of it's just kind of odd. Keeping it cold. Voila.
Perfect.
But you'll see that our lovely big old freezer is probably 30 years old, and it's held together with duct tape.
Power, which stands for Prince of Wales Emergency Response, has existed since 1988. The city of Craig owns the building and charges $1 a year. It's entirely donation-based and runs solely on volunteers.
Otherwise, we couldn't afford to do this. We don't pay anyone. Everyone that works here is a volunteer. And it's rare for an organization like this to continue on for 30-some years. In fact, one year the IRS was like, well, you've got to pay someone. And we're like, no. We just have a bunch of fools that work for free.
Power has a policy of not giving out more than 6 food boxes to a family every year. But Merritt says she's never turned anyone in need away. She says they're usually busiest near the end of the month when people are running low on their SNAP benefits or the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program.
I don't want anyone to feel food insecure if they don't have food.
Near the front door are stacks of papers where people can apply for assistance.
This one, both sides, and then put a line through anything you do not want.
Okay. Thank you.
The kitchen functions as a workspace for the 20 or so regular volunteers. It's where they go over paperwork about who has received assistance, when, and what for. On top of the food boxes, Power helps island residents with utility assistance, transportation for medical trips, and other emergencies. Samantha Wilson has been volunteering with Power for years. She says they rarely say no to people asking for help.
Generally, that doesn't happen too much. There are cases sometimes where people will have requests that are a little difficult to meet. So we always try and meet them wherever they're at.
An example of that would be paying people's fees rather than someone's bill. Then all of the fees are paid off, but they still can't pay for electricity.
And I think the one time we can't really help people is if we're actually fixing the problem. Power is about trying to get that resource to people.
Merritt says even though they don't typically pay deposits or late charges, there are exceptions. There's an IOU system where people can promise to pay back the money in increments, or they can pay back by volunteering. Sherry Preston got a food box last month when she was struggling to make ends meet.
It was priceless.
She's been volunteering to help other people, too. She says she's one of the most blessed people on the island.
I hope this goes on forever. The services here, the people are great to work with. And I get more than food boxes. I get clothing, shoes, necessities, and sometimes treats.
With reporting in Craig, I'm Sydney Dauphiné in Ketchikan.
After a decade of serving Juneau a range of fresh food and diverse flavors, a beloved restaurant is closing its doors later this month. Zerelda's Bistro was started by a couple who love food almost as much as they love each other. K2O's Yvonne Crumry reports.
Abby and Jeremy Barnett opened Zerelda's together in 2016. It's named after Abby's grandmother, Zerelda LaForce, who fostered her love of cooking and baking. The restaurant originally started as Abby's dream. Jeremy didn't live in the state yet, but after the two met online, Jeremy was ready to join her in this dream. He moved to Alaska for her and the business.
I met her and I dropped everything. So I loved what she was doing. And I was like,
"And we fell in love.
I'll come help." And
and we fell in love and we just loved cooking together. And
we clicked.
Zerelda's debuted on the Juneau food scene in a different location in the valley with a sit-down table service. A few years after opening, the couple decided to get married rather spontaneously. They didn't even close the restaurant.
We had whiskey, and we ate El Zarape, and
shots and tacos,
and then, smoked ribs. And then it was hilarious. We opened for service 2 hours late.
Yeah.
Zerelda's moved to its current location in the valley during the COVID-19 pandemic. The Barnetts turned what used to be a laundromat into a massive kitchen and bakery and shifted to a primarily to-go counter. Soon, the demand for their food tripled, and they said it took a few years to find their stride. But still, they prioritized fresh, local food and a diverse menu. It features decadent comfort food, like fried chicken and burgers, to veggie-forward noodle bowls and pho. New specials appear on the chalkboard almost daily, and cookies, pies, and croissants line the shelves of a case by the register. Abby Barnett says it's the product of the people in the back of the house.
We love to see what people's strengths are.
She says that while they've weathered rising costs and other fluctuations in the economy, it gave them the opportunity to be creative with their menu. She says they're closing for health reasons. In 2023, Jeremy had a severe heart attack, and since then, the couple has tried to find ways to step back from the restaurant without closing. But this fall, they decided it was time.
You know, it was a hard decision. It's emotional. It's like, this is all we know. You know, it's what we built together.
Abby says the hardest part for her is saying goodbye to her staff.
They're people that you've spent every day with for years and years and years. And, you know, they're who, like, kept us going when we didn't think we could go anymore.
The Barnetts say they're seeking someone who's willing to take over the restaurant and have had some promising conversations so far. They're planning to close at the end of the week. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Cromery.
For KFSK, I'm Taylor Heckert.